Today's conversation is with Jenna Ward, and this conversation kind of was one of those things that every time I went to have the call with her, something went wrong. At one point, her husband had just got out of surgery and she was stuck in the hospital. And then, you know, my daughter was supposed to be looked after by my mother-in-law and my nieces and nephews were down, so we had to cancel again. And it was almost at the point where it was like, maybe this call isn't supposed to happen. But then it did happen. And I'm so glad that it happened because Jenna has such a warm, loving, nurturing kind of vibe. She's, you know, we just have the best conversation about the wisdom that's within us that we often don't get to hear from, and that is our bodies. So I'm really excited to bring this call to you guys, and I hope that it inspires you to stop and listen to your body if you don't do that already. You know, it is true. We do hold all the answers that we're seeking. And sometimes we just got to shut out enough noise so that we can actually hear what our bodies are trying to tell us. So for your listening pleasure, here's Jenna Ward. Welcome to the Carlosophies podcast with me, Carly Nimmo. Every week, join me and my rad guests for tips and tricks for your entrepreneurial journey, incredible stories, real conversations, and takeaways to implement into your life to create positive change. Ready for a rad and real life and biz? Let's get our freak on.
I was a pharmacist, and now I'm a kinesiologist, and it's a complete 360 in terms of my career and my business as an entrepreneur. And it all really came down to me asking what was going to make me happy. And so my story is a lot around what is going to make you happy, because it's a surprisingly hard question to answer at times. Same story that we all have, you know, we're women, we like to achieve, the school captain, the great university. I stepped into a hospital career as a pharmacist, and was working in different areas, cancer, emergency, working with doctors, very much entrenched in the current medical model. And after a little while, I actually became really unwell. I was having nausea most days of the week. I was having a cold sweat. I was on the floor feeling just really crappy, feeling really shit. At the same time, I was dating an orthopedic surgeon who was not the nicest guy, even though, you know, theoretically he ticked all the boxes. And around that same time, I decided, you know what, I've had enough of this man. I've had enough of this job. Something's got to change here, because when I'm waking up in the morning, I'm just not feeling like I'm full in myself. And so around that same time, I met this new guy who was really into alternative medicine. And he said, hey, you know, you don't have to be nauseated and sick like this. Because I was a pharmacist, so I was taking all the good drugs and it wasn't really doing anything. And he recommended that I go see a kinesiologist. So I thought, you know what, the drugs aren't working. I can't keep going to work like this. Let's just do something. Let's just see if this changes. So I saw a kinesiologist who is a practitioner that just kind of looks a little bit more at what's going on at a deeper level, so subconsciously, energetically. And the kinesiologist pointed out these quite apparent things around how I was rewarding myself for this job I didn't want to do, with huge amounts of sugar and the way I was treating my body and all of this negative self-talk stuff that was happening, and I was pretty much hating on my job. And so from that place I was like, oh my God, this is just such a wake-up call. My body is speaking to me with these symptoms and it's up to me to really do something about it. So it was a really defining moment for me where I was aware that what I was, you know, the regular script of life, it just wasn't filling me up. And I needed to change and do something else. And around that same time, I realized I had no freaking idea what really made me happy. You know, I was doing all of the things that we would expect a woman in her early 20s to be doing. And, you know, it was pleasurable and it was good, but I just knew that there was more. And so that really began a journey of training in anything that I was curious about, because I couldn't answer the question, what would make me happy? So I just started to reframe it as, well, what the hell am I curious about? And absolutely anything that I was curious about, I did. So that looked like studying and training and traveling to different areas and going to a 10-day silent Vipassana meditation and retreating to India and, you know, traveling to America for like cutting edge training and different medical, integrative medical training. And it all ended up as, okay, Jenna, nobody can define your worth or your happiness for you. It's up to you to do that. And so that was really the start of my journey into entrepreneurship and into my own business as a kinesiologist. But that question I still come back to all the time, you know, what makes you happy? That is just the defining question for me in my whole life. So that's my story.
Yeah, cool. So when you were a kid, were you like, you know, I think about anyone who kind of studies in that medicine isn't necessarily the same person who is open to a lot of alternative therapies.
That's so true. I came from a like a rural background. My parents have a sugarcane farm, and I feel like within me there was probably some deep calling for healing, like to be a healer, but there wasn't an option available to me at the time. I wasn't aware that as a woman you could be an entrepreneur. I didn't really realize that you could work for yourself. I didn't really know what the hell a chakra was until I was about halfway through my kinesiology training. So it was a completely new paradigm that I just didn't know was available to me until I started asking and admitting to myself how deeply unhappy that I was. So it's been a really new paradigm to introduce my family to as well. My grandmother can't even say kinesiology. So it's been somewhat challenging in that way, but I'm also so ridiculously grateful because there's really a lot of women waking up to this and really changing the norm in terms of what we're aware our options are.
Totally. Mm. Totally. I just find it so interesting that you've gone from, like, you're listening to your body in a completely different way. And do you think when you were in the hospital or in the medical system, do you think you were listening to your body at all?
There were signs and symptoms there. So I believe now every symptom that we have is a message. It's something that's going on at a deeply subconscious level that our body is trying to bring our awareness to. So for me, I had like gastrointestinal symptoms, which was related to a lot of different, like, I'm just, you know, the expression sick in the guts or you're fed up with it. They're like ancient expressions that speak to this part of your digestive tract talks about like your professional satisfaction. You know, there's tons of more examples. If you've got problems with your thumb, then that means you've got control issues. If you're constipated, energetically, it means you're holding on to too much. If you've got pain in your shoulders, it's the weight of the world on your shoulders. You know, you've got emotional stress that you're holding on to. So while I had no idea of all this when I was in my medical, like my traditional medical hospital pharmacy career, as soon as I sort of had the light bulb moment with my own nausea, which my body just was relentless, like it wouldn't go away despite all the best drugs. It just wouldn't stop because it was like, there's a message here for you. You have to listen to me. And I'm a big believer that not all, but a lot of our disease and our symptoms and our physical discomforts come from this subconscious place where our body is like, I have to have your attention because you're doing something that's not in alignment with your best self. And so that's where all these aches and pains and different things in a big way can really come from. And that's completely different to the traditional medicine model, which just views your body as, you know, you've got a symptom. Okay, the body's done something wrong. Either surgery or medicine are the two options that you have to fix it. Whereas, you know, like, do you really believe that your body is wrong? Like, you know, if you break a bone, your body knows intricately how to go and fix that. Can a doctor actually fix your bone? No, he can't. He can place it, but he can't actually fix it. So this idea that symptoms is, you know, something wrong within us, I think if you really look at that concept, it's actually inherently flawed, which is why, you know, I had a bachelor and a graduate diploma in clinical pharmacy. I was a manager of like a team of 10 pharmacists. So I was well entrenched in the hospital culture, and yet I still couldn't dispute the fact that my symptoms were not just irrelevant. They were completely emotional. They were hugely related to my emotions. And it's so amazing to see more and more people, you know, realizing for themselves the truth of this new paradigm of healthcare, which is really about self-care.
So you made a decision, obviously, to leave the system. Do you think there would have been any way for you to bring the two together, or is that just like not really?
Oh, and I have to clarify, I'm not anti anything.
Yeah.
So I still hold a registration as a pharmacist, and for the first few years of my kinesiology practice, I lectured at a school of pharmacy and I worked a day a week at a hospital still because, like, you know, if I get run over by a bus, I don't want you to take me to a kinesiologist. Like, I want you to take me to an emergency department.
Yeah.
And conventional medicine definitely has its place. But I think, you know, for a lot of the women that I work with, we're using kinesiology around, you know, they have symptoms that are going on within their body, but they understand that those symptoms are intricately linked with who they are and who they desire to be in their work, in their relationships, in their life. And so it's actually really getting in at the root level before everything begins to manifest and get to a place whereby conventional medicine really is your only option. Because once things get really too advanced, not that there's nothing to be done for it, there's certainly a lot that can be done for it. But, you know, as I said before, if I was got an axe to the head, take me to ED. They're gods in that setting.
Yeah, for sure.
So I believe that they definitely can coexist. And really, it's just a spectrum between the two. And depending on your personal symptoms, it just depends, you know, where you meet at the spectrum. I have a GP, I have a dentist. Really, a key point is that it takes more than just one healthcare professional to really look after you. You know, you are the expert in your own body, and you need to get what you can from the experts in their respective fields. And so I feel like that's probably the paradigm that opens up. You know, you can't rely on just one person to give you what you need.
Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, there's so many people, and I speak from personal experience here, there's a lot of people who feel very disempowered when it comes to medicine. I mean, I've always had a fear of doctors, and they're, you know, they're entrenched in my childhood. and I also, so, you know, I recently had, well, recently, it doesn't feel recently, but, you know, I had a baby 17 months ago. And from the moment I arrived in the hospital, you know, they were trying to not force, but they were being quite forceful in their approach for me to have an induction and get things happening and get, you know, and I really had to fight really hard for my right to listen to my own body, you know, and there was like some seriously reportable stuff that happened, like a doctor telling me that I could kill my baby, you know, by not inducing it because my waters had broken. There was a whole bunch of backstory. But at the end of the day, I really took my power back and I used the system in the end to help me deliver a happy, healthy baby via a C-section. But I, you know, I knew what my body was trying to tell me. And when it came to the time, I was very open to having the Caesar, but I wanted to, you know, give my child as much kind of time to come out on her own. And so I really had to assert myself in that kind of scenario.
And that's the whole concept there that you just spoke about, you listening to your body. You are the expert on you. Nobody else is the expert on you. You know, sometimes we need an expertise of somebody just helping us to decipher what that means emotionally or the specialty of a doctor in a particular area. But at the same time, it's like, okay, you are the expert on you. And you're so right in saying taking that power back, because from my own experience, a hospital environment is not necessarily just with regards to the individuals in it. Like, it's a system. It has deadlines. It's a machine. And sometimes, unfortunately, there's not a huge amount of space for compassion.
Yeah.
It does humanity feel, within that.
Yeah. And it does feel like, from my own experience anyway, I totally understand that there's a lot of risk involved, you know, financially, legally, involved in medicine as a whole. And so they're obviously protecting themselves and their assets, and it's my job to protect myself and my body. And, you know, I had to be very clear in come to me with the facts so that I can make an informed decision, but not an emotional decision, you know. And I think that so many people lose the ability to make, you know, an informed decision. Yeah, with, you know, I knew in my body that I wasn't ready to be induced, and I knew what I needed, but in order to, yeah, it was just so hard to fight that, you know, and it shouldn't have to be a fight, but I guess sometimes it is.
And every case is so different and so unique, but I definitely understand what you speak to there. There is a general culture within our world of a bit of a fix me population, And I tend to find that the women, the entrepreneurs that I work with are not of that mindset. And sometimes we almost live in a little bit of a bubble that, like, you know, we're in tune with ourselves, we know our desires, we are creating our own life on our own terms with our own rules. And I know I certainly live in that bubble and really freaking enjoy it. But at the same time, you know, when you step into the more conventional or wide set society, there is still a really prevalent fix me population. Totally. Whereby it's like, I give my power to you. It's your responsibility to make me better. I had no hand in creating what is here. It's your job to fix it. And that's hugely disempowering for a patient, but it also just changes the whole dynamic of, you know, when those types of patients are the majority of patients in a hospital system, you know, it influences the system hugely. So that's why I love women who are in tune with their body, who want to go deeper into their desires and want to live from that place on their terms with their rules, because that's so hugely empowering. And I think that's what we all need to be doing more and more of. So it's so beautiful to hear that story of your pregnancy.
Yeah. And, you know, you were talking before about, you know, not really knowing what made you happy. And I hear that time and time and time again too, you know, because I feel like, you know, I was in the same position maybe 6 or 7 years ago. I was really depressed and I was so, you know, I was just totally living in this space around me, not actually living in my body. And I try to explain that to people a lot. And, you know, I think if you have lived in that space, then you kind of understand the concept. Like, it was like I was on autopilot all the time. You know, I got in my car, I was in my car, and then I would be like, oh, where am I? I got here. I'm not really sure how I got here, you know?
Like, I so know what you mean, because there's this place whereby, and eventually it begins to feel like the pain of living on that autopilot in that numb state, the pain of that is greater than the pain of, like, oh, let me inquire into this unknown place within me that might be the solution. And I do so much work with women around that, because it's like, we don't really know intimately what our body and our pleasure is like. We're all living up in our head. That's the way that we're taught to live. And it's like, well, that's not where all the answers are. The answers don't come from your head, just the solutions sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I think, you know, that whole, the depression thing for me was partly never being in my body, and partly me not knowing what made me happy.
And then around this concept, so medical convention would say and give you the label of depression. And I'm not discounting anyone that has that diagnosis, because if it's really real for you, then it's really real for you. But in the work that I do, I really love to look at that dark side as the complete opposite to the light. It's like, there can be no day without night. Totally. There can be no pain without immense pleasure. And as you begin to know, you know, all of the best music is always written from that really dark place. And it's like, without going there, you do not know that you have the capacity within yourself to actually move past and through that into something that's so beautiful. So it's almost like, in a way, that begins to be a portal, which I constantly have to use with myself, because, you know, I'm constantly getting in my own way and coming up against myself in some way or another. And it's always just gorgeous for me to be reminded that the nature of this universe is polarity. For every yin, then there is yang. And so for every, you know, deep pain and darkness that I feel, by embracing that fully, there's the converse pleasure and the lightness that totally. I have access to within me immediately.
Yeah. And I wholeheartedly agree with you, because that was, you know, in my journey with depression, it really came down to, I had to rediscover emotional states because I had become so numb. And then it came down to, you know, realizing what sadness was, really realizing what anger was, and knowing that there is fear, but where there is fear, there is also love, you know, at the other end of the spectrum. And when there's happiness, there has to be sadness, because without one, you do not have access to the other, you know.
And for women who are, like, really seeking, so a lot of women that I assume are entrepreneurs, they tend to be kind of like seekers, because they're pushing outside the box. They're like, I want more depth, love, intimacy, expansion in my life. And so you know, when we're younger, we tend to play on a little bit of a narrow end of the spectrum. Like we might know really good happiness and kind of not so bad pain. And after living in that kind of narrower end of the spectrum for a while, we get to be a bit bored and we're like, you know what? I need to push my boundary, my growth edge out a little bit. And that's where things can get a little bit, you know, dark night of the soul, but also it opens up to more depth and more exquisite nature as our capacity to experience expands.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Mm. So in your career as a kinesiologist, what would you say you see women struggling with? Because you deal mostly with entrepreneurial types.
Yes. Yeah.
So what do you see as the things that they are struggling with the most?
Well, it all comes under the blanket of getting in your own way. So we're all getting, and I know this personally, we're all getting in our own way. And there's probably two big elements within that. One is at some point genuinely not believing that you are good enough, you are worthy enough, what you have to say is unique enough, and that all comes down to worth. So inherently just being unsure about your worth. And that then manifests as lack of confidence, fear of being judged, playing it really small. And the second thing that really comes out is judgment of yourself. And that's, again, obviously linked with worth. But, you know, fear of judgment and of expectation and of success, like what does success mean in this new realm, is another thing that I really work with. So that looks like women who desire clarity, confidence, conviction within themselves. They want to maybe shake up the mold and create some of their own rules. But just like we were talking about with that expansion contraction model, if you want to expand into more pleasure within your work, most of the time it's going to come with encountering a little bit more pain because you've got programming and conditioning and beliefs there that hold you back from your greatness. And they feel uncomfortable and they can be hard to move through. So my work just is kind of a little bit like mentor and guide. You know, your journey is completely your own, but we can make it a little less painful than just staying in that dark night for days and months and years.
Yeah, cool.
So it's very emotionally based, but it's kind of like actually the foundation that you need to then really go out and rock it. So it's all about, you know, your inner emotional landscape and your inner sense of courage and worth within yourself. Because when you have that harnessed, the rest of it just flows. The practical hows work themselves out when you truly deeply believe you can do it.
Yeah.
And it's aligned.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
So you're not just doing it because she's doing it. You're doing it because it's ultimately your, it's completely and 110% yours.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really hard thing in itself, knowing what voice is yours and what voices aren't yours.
Oh my gosh. It's the hardest thing in the world because one, we judge ourselves so harshly, like who is my voice to be a good enough voice to be preached about? And if you can get through that one, which most of us have trouble getting through that one, like who am I to X, Y, Z? It's like, oh, mine isn't as good as hers. And can I really make this work? Is this good enough? And it's this, all this worth and judgment. You know, and we're our own biggest judges. Sometimes we see that out in the world look like judgment perceived from friends or family or kids.
Yeah.
But truly, truly it's our own judgment at a deep level.
Yeah. I always say, judgment without judgment within. So really, if you're feeling judgment from other people, it's just a reflection of what's going on inside. And, you know, often, you know, I see so often I have a bit of a water off, you know, duck's back kind of thing when it comes to what other people think of me. And that's been, you know, sometimes it is a blessing and sometimes it can be a bit of a curse. You know, I've seen in groups of friends, particularly mums, because I think often, you know, we used to all mother in communities and we're all raising our kids together and we didn't have all the pressure that we have on us today, you know, to be really successful work-wise and raise kids and seemingly have it all. We used to cook and clean and sweep and raise children with the support of everyone around us. And now we're doing it on our own. I guess like because a lot of us have lost touch with ourselves and our inner voices, it's really hard to, you know, I just see a lot of women struggling with motherhood and entrepreneurship too, because they're, I kind of feel like the journeys are similar.
You're mothering a baby, you're mothering a business.
Yeah.
Like, you're the custodian of this precious cargo.
Yeah.
And sometimes looking at entrepreneurship through the lens of a mother actually sometimes gives it a little bit more ease, because when you're like, oh my gosh, my service and my valuing and me, and it's like, well, hold on. Like, yes, you're delivering this, but you're actually the custodian of this thing that is perhaps a little bit greater than you, and that perhaps has, you know, if you take yourself out of a little bit, it actually has an energy and a life of its own. And sometimes just removing some of your fears from the equation allows it to really glow. Just like in motherhood, when you know you're the custodian, you've birthed this beautiful creation out into the world, but it has a life of its own. You know, it's its own independent entity that you hold and nurture and do the absolute best that you can of.
Totally. I see this weird codependency often. I've been witnessing it quite a bit, because I actually was so like completely codependent on a business, because it was all a reflection of, like, I saw it as really personal. So when it failed, it was me. I was a failure, you know, and people not wanting to work with me was because there was something wrong with me, you know, where a business is its own entity, just as a child has its own life and own journey, and we're responsible to keep it kind of safe. But beyond that, you know, there has to be distance between the two of us in order for anything to grow healthily.
Exactly. And I mean, it's coming through you. You know, I work with a lot of women who feel like their work is their soul work. So it's, you know, there's deep purpose and meaning in what they do. And if that work becomes you, then who are you beside it? There has to be a space, a container for the you-ness to be authentic in the work that you're doing. Because if you become the work, well, you know, is that speaking to the way that ultimately lights you up in your happiest state? You know, I'd suggest you probably don't want to be in your business hat 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. There has to be a point of separation. Most definitely. And the point that you were making before about codependency and mothering, there was just a message that came to me, which was really about connection heals and separation hurts. So whether that's connection within yourself to your truth, whether that's connection with the community around you, all of that is so incredibly healing. But when we feel like we're separated, when we feel like it is all, you know, us against something or us compared to something, that separation really deeply hinders our ability to shine.
For sure. Yeah, totally. I actually was recording a podcast on the beach the other day, which I didn't see the light of day because I just couldn't get it to, like, I just wasn't in the right space. But it was all about oneness and about how we are all connected, you know. And separation, you're so right, separation does hurt, even when it comes down to, you know, this morning I said before we jumped on the call that I had to drop the lady off at daycare, and even just like separating her from me, it hurts, you know.
Yeah,
she gets upset and then I get upset because she's upset, and, you know, but I also know that that separation is so important for both of us. For both of us to become our own entities, because we can't.
Just like your business.
Yeah, yeah. Because while we are one, we are still separate, you know? Mm. It's just, oh, God. Life in the universe.
I love exploring, you know? Yeah. Sexualizing, you know, how does that spirituality within myself and that purpose within myself, how does that come out, and how do I make that work in the world? That's what I freaking love.
Yeah, so do I. I'm totally down with that. Have you ever struggled with that? Like, have you ever, because you've come from a more structured environment.
Oh, yeah.
Have you struggled with taking on?
Of course I have. I'm a human.
Yeah.
I get in my way so much. And, you know, I didn't get to be like a manager of a pharmacy team by, I don't know what age, like mid-20s with like a bachelor and a graduate. Like, you know, I had all the qualifications. I was at pretty much the top of the food chain within my little pharmacy career. And because I was a ridiculous achiever, I was like, okay, next, 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 without pausing to be like, is this what I really want? I just, you know, like a bullet a gate. And that is so my energy. It's very much the achiever. It's my greatest strength, but like anything, it's also my greatest weakness when it's out of balance. So I'm constantly finding balance between the two of them, between, you know, working in my business versus working for my business. I don't have children, thank God, at the moment. Because I'm, you know, I'm constantly navigating that and redefining what that looks like and feels like for me.
Yeah, you know, I didn't think I would ever have kids, you know, but I did. And, you know, it's been like, for me, it's just been the most amazing experience because, you know, I really dig challenge and I dig finding my way through challenge and learning and growing. They're like my jam. And having a kid, like, it's kind of like, I don't know, you know, sometimes you do those things where you're like, oh, if only I had done this 10 years ago, you know, that's what motherhood was like for me, but I didn't. And if I had it done 10 years ago before I had gone on my own healing journey, oh my God, we both would have been all kinds of fucked up. So I'm glad it's happened now. I'm still going to fuck her up, but in, you know, in a much more loving way. Yeah, exactly. And I'm okay with that. So, you know, we were talking just before about, you know, how we are constantly getting in our own way.
Oh.
For you, how does that look?
Getting in my own way looks like putting too much pressure on myself personally for my business to succeed. So like you were speaking about before, you know, if I don't have a completely booked schedule, then I'm like, oh, what am I doing? And it takes me a while sometimes to sit with that and be like, oh, it's actually because you desire a lifestyle that creates space in your week. And what do you know? You've created the freaking space. So for me, a lot of getting in my own way looks at continuously redefining my version of success because I'm so ingrained for a version of success to look a certain way with a certain amount of one-on-ones, of group work, of coaching, whatever it is, a certain amount of dollars in the bank. And while clients and money are important, the version of success that I actually desire doesn't have those two things at the top of the list. So this redefining what is success to me and how is that actually manifesting in my business really creates a huge amount of space for me to get out of my own way because I can do it with ease when I'm aware of it. It's just when I slip into the mindset of like, oh, this is not what it's meant to look like, that shit gets uncomfortable. And so that uncomfortable feeling for me is really like a pause. It's like, okay, well, what are you feeling uncomfortable about here? Because something's rubbing up against something. Stop and inquire.
Yep. Yep. I love that tool. I, you know, I use that myself, particularly when I notice I'm feeling friction from something that somebody else has raised in me through, you know, through a Facebook comment or through whatever it is. And it raises that feeling of friction in me, which feels like, you know, either frustration or anger or fear. And then I always ask myself, what is this about? You know, but prior when I had depression and I couldn't have any of those feelings, it was, you know, I wasn't aware of that, you know.
Because, well, we've been taught to resist the things that don't feel good instead of feeling the things that don't feel good. And when we resist it, we create friction, we create pain for ourselves, we become fearful of fear, and we begin to really hide in that state. Whereas when something that's uncomfortable comes and you allow yourself to feel it, that's another symptom. It's a sign from the body that's like, there's some wisdom here for you, receive it. And in that receiving, it's like, oh, everything starts to fall back into place again. So stopping and pausing and just inquiring what's here, you know, it takes a little bit of time to be able to get it down, but it's a practice like any other. The stronger, the more you use it, the stronger the muscle gets.
Totally. Love that.
Time to kick up your feet and relax. It's on the couch.
Biggest fear.
My biggest fear is fear of failure, which is interesting because my biggest challenge is defining what is success for me. So there's this constant ebb and flow between this deep inherited conditioning around what failure looks like, because my version of success is so unconventional. that even I still have trouble getting my head around it. And so that looks like constantly just arriving with myself and being like, no, you wanted space today and you got it. Don't be sad that a client didn't book in because you were asking for space. So what did you expect? Yeah. And so that's a process that I'm constantly coming up against at the moment, which I'm so grateful for because I want to keep redefining what my version of success is.
Yeah. I think the lens that you look at things through makes all the difference, doesn't it?
Well, you know, that is life, isn't it? You know, life is expanding and deciding how you want to look at it.
You know, this I've had this theme going on that kind of fits around that this week where I've worked with a whole bunch of women in, not a whole bunch, but a few women in mentoring that I do, and the idea of expansion kept on coming up because they were doing things that weren't necessarily aligned with what they wanted in life, but were conditioned to believe that they needed, you know?
Oh my gosh, it's I feel like it's one of the biggest things, and especially when, you know, there's so many women around us who are doing a particular version of success and it looks so enticing because the grass is always greener. But, you know, in my business, I've actually, you know, I've known different versions of failure, but I've never labeled any of them as failure. They've all been such ridiculously amazing learnings. And I'm so incredibly grateful for this awareness around I get to define what my version of success is because it's so incredibly liberating.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So liberating.
Yeah. And, you know, there's two things I want to talk about there. And one is when it came to me, you know, hearing what these women were saying and just asking them, but is this what you want? Is this what you want? Is this what you want?
It's a hard question to answer if you're numb.
Isn't it? And, you know, it came down to this and I ended up asking them, take a few deep breaths and feel this question. Does this make you feel expansive or do you feel constricted? And again, that comes down to the body, doesn't it? I'm asking your body what you think. Not you.
Exactly.
Not the mind.
Because your body is all-knowing. It knows everything. It's so true. You know, your mind is important as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But your body has the wisdom, you know.
Yeah.
And there's this place whereby, and particularly, you know, in entrepreneurship, you know, you can keep searching for more intellectual knowing. You can keep having more knowing, more knowing, more knowing. Or you can listen to your body and you can have more living. Like you can live it instead of just knowing it conceptually. And the wisdom of the body is all about the wisdom to actually go and live it, to live a joyful life, to live a life with depth, because there's no point thinking about it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So true. Yeah.
It's not real unless you are actually living it. Actually, I have this beautiful quote on my screen which says, where we put our time and our attention shows for us in a very real, pragmatic way what we are truly valuing, the truth we are actually living. And that's what I'm about. What truth are you actually living?
Yeah, for sure. I love that. And you're so right, because there is a very big difference between conceptually understanding a concept and then having lived a concept. You know, I remember sitting in a therapist's office and I could totally tell you everything that was wrong with me, and you know, like, and I could give it some kind of intellectual meaning, but I wasn't allowing myself to truly feel it, you know. And
wisdom happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was really interesting too, because the biggest tool she taught me was to, you know, because for me, my depression came from suppression, 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 suppression. Swallow the tears, swallow the anger, swallow the happiness, swallow the, you know, swallow everything, and then there's kind of nothing. And so when she would notice that I was going into an emotion, she would be like, stay with it, stay with it, stay with it, stay with it.
And that takes a lot of strength.
It does.
It takes a lot of strength, because at first we often have to move through the layers of pain for that to be unknown.
Yeah. And it's scary. That kind of stuff is scary, you know. Like, well, for me, the depths are scary. The really high highs are scary for me, as are the really low lows, you know. They're both equally unknown. So, yeah.
Which is why a big part of, you know, this type of and this work that we're talking about of coming into the body, I label it embodiment work. A big part of this embodiment work is feeling grounded and connected in yourself. Because if you take the journey into the really high highs and the really low lows without knowing what it is to be sure in the depth of your body, it will actually, it can blow you out and, you know, send you into a place that you don't want to be. So the practice of knowing how to be really grounded and sure here in your body is essential. It's an essential grounding and foundation part of the process, which a lot of us just kind of naturally work out what works for us. But there are some practices as well that can be really simple things that help to really just bring you into that calm, deep place.
Yeah. So safeness in that.
Yeah. Because if you don't have that anchor and you go really high or really low, it is terrifying.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be unsafe like that.
And on the other side that we were talking about success and failure, what do you, you know, have you had any big failure?
You asked this question and I reflected on it for like 20 minutes before our interview. And I know that with conventional standards, I have probably had some versions of failure. But I was really searching within myself as to whether I could put that label on it, and I just couldn't. I couldn't, you know, theoretically, I've had days in the past whereby I might not have had a client, or I've had workshops or group sessions whereby they were maybe only, you know, 60% full, they weren't 100% full. And I really reflected deeply within myself to decide, can I call that failure? And with my version of success, I genuinely couldn't. That has not always been the case for me.
Yeah.
I can tell you pharmacist Jenna like definitely knew what failure looked like, and it looked like her not getting exactly her own freaking way. But there's this space now whereby through that deep embodiment, like, okay, there's an uncomfortable feeling coming up here about no particular client on this day, and it's like, oh, shit, what does that mean? And it actually means that, oh my gosh, I have space to work on this other project that is just, you know, on my periphery that I haven't given time to. And so there's great learning in that for me. And, you know, it sounds like a bit of like, oh, you know, who is she to not have failure? You know, I would challenge you to consider, you know, redefining what your version of success is.
Mm. Yeah, I think like for me, I feel like I have experienced failure in that I had a business fail. And there wasn't any other way to, well, you know, you could define it as it just didn't work. It wasn't the right time, wasn't the right place. Yeah. And, you know, I call it a failure because, you know, it doesn't mean that I was a failure. It's just a business that didn't work.
Of course.
And I think that's a key difference, framing it as that failed business is not your failure or your shortcomings.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it didn't work for the time and space that it was in for a bunch of reasons. And now I know those reasons was because, well, one of the main reasons was because I needed to create enough space by having it gone that I could fall pregnant. And I fell pregnant the weekend I closed the business. Like,
that's
just absolutely ludicrous. So, yeah, but, you know, like I really struggled with the failure versus the lessons thing because, you know, a lot of people who I've spoken to have said, I wouldn't call it a failure. I would call it lessons.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I've had a truckload of lessons.
Yeah. I guess it comes down to the definition, doesn't it? Like, and everybody's definition of everything is slightly different. So, yeah. Okay, so let's go there because that's actually underneath this on my little wall of questions. What have been some of the major lessons?
Major lessons for me? Whenever something is going, in inverted commas, wrong, it's me getting in my own freaking way. And that means I need to stop and go do some dance or walk in nature. It's like every time something is overwhelming and wrong and brah, it's like, okay, well, you're creating this because there is no emotion except what lives within you. And so if your landscape is looking bleak, just step the hell away. Because you cannot create good work doing that. So feeling full to create the good work is really where one of my lessons lies. And the other big lesson that I've really found within this work is that it is, as I was speaking about before, it's so much greater than I am. You know, I'm the custodian of this work, but there are qualities to it that I don't personally have. You know, when I hold a space for, if I'm working one-on-one with a woman, if I hold a space for her, she's such a magnetic and amazing woman that there's this certain type of alchemy that happens between us, which is so much greater than her or I individually. And so that's been a really great lesson for me as well, knowing that within this type of work that I do, there's a bit of a magic quality.
Yeah, cool. What do you struggle with at the moment?
Struggling with at the moment, time. Time always seems to be the one, isn't it? It's a bit of a cop-out because I was looking at my calendar today and I was just thinking, you know, I woke up this morning and I said to myself, which is part of my morning ritual, what is it in this day that's stressing me out? Or what is it within this day that is not essential? Like, what am I doing here that's not essential? Because if I feel like I need more time for more creative projects to come through, all the non-essential stuff just has to freaking go. So every morning I'm looking at just my calendar for the day and I'm saying, okay, what is here that does not have to be? And I'm pretty ruthless like that.
Yeah.
Because if I desire more time, if that's one of my versions of success, it's got to be prioritized above whatever else I think or deem that I should be doing.
Yeah, I love that. Creating space
for better because, shit. You know, time is the ultimate commodity. It's really the only commodity that is, for me, absolutely essential. And so one of my versions of success is about space and time and how much of that I devote to the creative elements of my business versus the actually, you know, bringing in the money versus the all the other little admin-y type bits. So for me, with time being such an essential part of my success, you know, it's got to be prioritized over everything else.
Cool. This is the last hard question. Although, it depends on where you sit. We've all got that reoccurring voice in our head and often it's on repeat. What would be the one thing that you hear in like the negative kind of self-talk space?
And just a little bit of neuroscience here for you. We have around 600,000 thoughts a day and 90% of those thoughts are the same thoughts that we had the day before. So our brain's not very original. But one of my key kind of, if you wanted to call it negative self-talks, is this voice that says, why aren't you there already? And it's like, you should be there. Why aren't you there? You're not there yet. And there's this concept of me of like, well, what the fuck's there? Yeah. Where is there? Does anyone ever get there?
Yeah, cool. Yeah, that's a good one.
But, you know, pharmacist Jen is the achiever. She likes to, you know, she likes to get there.
Yeah.
So
give me a fucking map, you know, yeah, like how, where's yep. the map that tells me how to get there? Yeah, that's cool.
So that's me.
Okay, so what has been a career highlight?
A career highlight, I've had so many. I would have to say my career highlight has been the discovery of just this sisterhood of women who are phenomenal. That includes women that I work with and women who have been mentors and sat in business circles with me. The discovery of the support from the spectrum of women continues to blow my mind because it defies all concepts of competition, judgment, and worth. They have just been such a catalyst for exponential growth within me. So that has and continues to be a highlight. You know, being able to work with these women and connect with these women is just, you know, makes my heart sing.
Yeah, it definitely makes a huge difference having, you know, people around you who truly have your best interests at heart.
Oh, they see you for what you don't yet see yourself. You know, they hold you in a space whereby you need to, you know, work through some of that uncomfortable stuff in a way whereby that connection is so healing. We all need more connection.
For sure, for sure. And last one, self-care and self-love. Do you have like a little routine that you do? Oh, how do you show yourself you love yourself?
So into my schedule, Thursday mornings, self-care morning. So I book it out, I don't see clients, and something happens on that morning. So either, you know, I go see a therapist or I go for, you know, a big hike in nature. I really often swap balances with my kinesiology friends. I love kinesiology. That is why I am one. But there's some type of ritual that always happens on a Thursday morning, and I create a sacred space in my calendar for that to make sure it freaking happens.
The plug. Instead of filling the podcast with self-promotion, we're being totally transparent. Here's the plug.
So I work in person in Brisbane and also via Skype doing one-on-one kinesiology and clarity coaching sessions, really working with women who seek to journey a little bit deeper into their own heart, women who are interested in living with more clarity and more purpose and more freedom. And so at the moment, one-on-one is the way that I work best. I also have a sacred circle, which is a sacred group of women who come together once a season to sit in sistership and do some deep embodiment inquiry. And the winter sacred circle has just wrapped up, so the spring circle will be starting in a few months' time. And you can find out more about that over at my website, jennaward.com.au.
Cool. And it's Jenna with a J.
J-E-N-N-A.
Sweet.
The takeaway. Exercises or tips for positive change, sprinkled with salt and vinegar, wrapped in newspaper and handed over the counter from our special guest to you.
I love the concept of morning ritual. We're all busy women. If we don't do it first up, it's not going to get done. So I have this morning ritual while I'm getting ready of asking myself the question, what is it in my day that's either stressing me out or that's not lighting me up? And being mindful every single day of what's going on so that I'm constantly refining the habits and the fears out of my life that just are not in alignment with my version of success. And it's a ridiculously simple question, but when we ask ourselves it continuously, a lot becomes illuminated.
Cool. That's awesome. Thank you so much. This is super fun. I loved having you on. And it was really good. It really felt like a conversation. So, you know,
yeah, it did feel like
that's the aim.
You held a great space.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye, babe.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Carlosophies podcast with me, Carly Nimmo. Let's continue the conversation at carlynimmo.com. If you were a big fan of the podcast, I'd be stoked if you left a review. And if you want to hear more radness just like this, be sure to subscribe and spread the word. In the meantime, be real, be rad. Peace out.